Борись.
Fly away, fly away. 体中に広がるパノラマ。かぼけられた地球が起こって、火山を爆発させる。
Yeah, dude, man. What a bummer of a week. The creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama.
Fuck, man.
Dies of a sub-zero hematoma. Dude, sub-zero hematoma. It's like basically a brain bleed.
Fuck.
And apparently he was scheduled for brain surgery to remove a tumor in his head last
really?
Month. But so, I mean, obviously details are light on this, but it's such a fucking bummer too, because I got into Dragon Ball Z pretty late. Well, late for me. I was in high school. So think early 1990s. And this is during a time when like Dragon Ball Z wasn't available in English anywhere. No subtitles, no dub. Even the comic books were all in Japanese. But I just remember like beginning of high school is also when I started martial arts training. So when you watch Dragon Ball and you see the punches and kicks, but they're doing it hyper fast and they're flying and they're shooting fireballs. My teenage brain was in a perpetual state of orgasm.
Seriously.
Seeing that shit.
No,
I was
seriously
telling kids in my class the other day, asking if they knew who Akira Toriyama was, if they knew what Dragon Ball was. You know, maybe only a third of them knew.
Yeah.
But most of them watch anime. I just kind of teased them. I said, Akira Toriyama is your favorite manga artist's favorite manga artist. You know,
well,
he influenced so many people. There were so many kind words by the creator of One Piece, the creator of Naruto. But I just remember in high school, I bought a membership to Japan Video in Japantown just so I could rent Dragon Ball Z movies that I couldn't fucking understand because they were all in English. I mean, yeah, they were all in Japanese. Yeah. There was no English available.
Yeah, I remember my first experience was catching it just off of some random. I remember way back when it was Channel 26. I think they had like a little Japanese slot way back when, and they played Dragon Ball, and I was hooked at that point. Waited till obviously the American one came out, thought it was shit. And then, when I went to Philippines, I went and seeked it out. I was like, dude, I need everything. So I went out to Philippines, one of the malls over there had one of these bootleg ass tables where they were pretty much selling the whole set from like, you know, Dragon Ball to all the way to GT. And I remember begging my mom. I was like, dude, I need this. This is the one. And I had to talk her into it. It was $60 American. They hustled us, obviously. Cause they weren't even all fucking complete, to be totally honest with you. It was like bootleg ass fucking packaging. But I watched every single one of them in Japanese.
And man, I remember late in high school, I was obsessed with the Dragon Ball Z fighting game on Super NES.
Ooh, great game.
One of my friends had the Japanese Super NES. So we had the Dragon Ball Z game that was only available in Japan. And we had the video game club in high school. And it was simply an excuse just to play Dragon Ball Z after school. And it was mad, dude. It was just so mad. And like Dragon Ball Z for me, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z was the window into other anime. Cause I was into Japanese animation earlier on, but you know, I fell out of it after Robotech, the Macross saga.
Oh, yeah.
And up until high school, I thought all of Japanese anime was usually just
porn,
giant robots. Oh. What did you say? Porn?
I thought you were going to say hentai and like shit like that.
No, like I got into that later. No, I didn't. No. Parents listening to this, I'm joking. Yeah, I used to think it was just giant robots and monsters. And then Dragon Ball Z made me look at other anime. And then that's when I discovered Akira, which I was super late with because that was in the 1980s. I discovered like Ninja Scroll,
yeah,
Wicked City, Ranma 1/2, all these other different types of cartoons and manga. And it was just, yeah, like, with him passing away, it was just this piece of my childhood that's now gone. It's just a reminder of the years that are going by. And did you know there's this theory or I guess rumor that during Dragon Ball's heyday, when it would air in Mexico, it was so popular in Mexico, apparently, that they said that on days when a new episode would air, crime would actually go down in Mexico because everyone was home.
Damn.
Catching a new episode. But he has, it's not just reach in Japan, influence
everywhere.
In America, obviously, Mexico, I just talked about. The president of France talked about how he treasured this signed, I think, photo that he has with Toriyama. It's just like such a big reach and influence that this man's work has had. And it kind of fucked me up in a way too. During my martial arts training, I used to think, man, maybe if I just trained hard enough and gotten mad enough, I could shoot fireballs and I could start glowing or some stupid shit that my dumb teenage brain was trying to justify and trying to rationalize. But yeah, it was such a bummer.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it. I still get bummed out.
Who's your favorite character?
You know what? The easy answer is Goku, but I always had this kind of draw towards Piccolo, because I thought the cape that he wore was cool. I thought his power was cool. The Japanese voice actor made him sound super badass.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, I was a Piccolo guy. How about you?
I was always about the Vegeta. I mean, I know.
Oh, you like the anti-hero kind
of
guy.
Yeah. I mean, I remember back then the fact that, he took his licking, got his ass beat, pretty much died, came back and then started becoming friends and was just like, you know what, dude, I kind of like this place. Ends up being a part of society, marrying a human.
Banging
a blue-haired chick and then having a child with purple hair. The storyline is just insane. So,
I mean, man, it spans so many years as well.
Yeah. I feel you on that, though. Dragon Ball literally was like the gateway to other things and hentai included. Cause remember when Ceremony used to have Suncoast
Video.
Yeah. They used to sell like anime things and you had to be over 18 to buy like Dragon Pink or like one of those fucking,
this is fucked up. You know, the names of the goddamn,
oh, yeah, totally. Me and my cousin were all about it.
We're like, would be all hounding on. God damn, dude. Sean.
I went through a phase. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, yeah, animated boobs are fine.
Yeah. Yeah, like giant dicks, like dick monsters and shit.
Well, I think
Lord of the Overfiend.
Wasn't there some rule in Japan where they couldn't depict certain types of genitalia? So they got about it was by having like these aliens with long tentacles, and then these tentacles would do these unspeakable, horrible things to these young girls in these animated movies. Why are we talking about this on an MMA podcast, Sean?
Because Akira Toriyama introduced... No, you didn't.
Yeah,
there was no nudity in Dragon Ball, right?
Credit to Toriyama and fault to Toriyama. Thank you for ruining Sean's development leaders.
I'm sure a lot of martial artists were all about it too, man, so...
The Dragon Ball hentai?
Hentai and Dragon Ball.
Sorry. Yeah, let's focus. Yes, but I mean, you just watch some of these action scenes that were animated and it just excited the imagination of a young martial artist. And I'm just going to miss that innocence that I had back then. You know, now I'm old and jaded. Nothing's possible anymore. Everything's bullshit.
God. Makes me want to listen
to old. We're all getting old. Fuck.
Makes me want to listen to the original theme song.
Uh-oh. You should open the next podcast with that theme song. Hopefully we won't get fucking sued by Toriyama's estate.
That'd be pretty cool though.
But outside of that, how's everything going with you? Is training going all right?
Yeah. Trained Monday and Tuesday, which was good. Today's Wednesday, obviously. Feel good. My knee's feeling good. I hear there's a tournament April 20. Probably try to make that.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, and also, Sean, you're going to be doing some video work for an MMA promotion here in the city this Saturday, yeah?
Yeah, we were actually supposed to call it, but unfortunately, scheduling conflicts were the culprit. But, you know, I'm still going to be out there. I'm sure a lot of local people who are supporting the local fighters are going to be there as well. If you guys are listeners and you guys are that way, dude, say hi to me. I'll be all up in the fucking video, all up in the camera and shit. So
wait, it's called First Round Fights. It's going to be at the Cow Palace.
It's at the Cow Palace this Saturday.
What time does it start this Saturday?
I think first amateur fight probably starts at 3, if I had to guess.
Okay. And so this is going to be amateurs and pros.
Yeah, they kind of stack the amateurs, trying to build them up a little bit. But I mean, I don't know how it is to throw a fight or like a fight card like that. So I can only imagine how hard it is to get good talent to come in and fight. I just don't know how you do it.
Mm. And guys, Sean hinted at that we were supposed to do the play-by-play for this one. The reason why there was a scheduling conflict is because this weekend is also the BJJ Tour, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament. It's going to be in Woodside. And it's over 2 days. So the 16th and the 17th, I didn't know which day one of my private students and my teammates are going to go. And so I couldn't fully commit to calling the fights on the 16th. Turns out my guy is competing on the 17th, so I could have done the play-by-play. So I completely blame you, Anthony.
Thanks a lot, Anthony.
I'm just kidding. If you guys want to send him, give him some grief for it, he is Anthony Wonton on Instagram. You could send him grief. He is the reason why me and Sean cannot do the play-by-play for first round fights this Saturday.
We'll be at the next one. Fuck.
But Anthony's, you know, he's in his feelings a little bit right now. He's getting ready for the tournament, so he might be a little nervous. So Anthony, you listening to this right now, just relax. Okay. I'm just breaking your balls a little bit. Calm down.
That means
I don't really, blame you.
You better fucking win, Anthony.
Yeah. You better fucking like kick ass. Otherwise this is all for naught.
Did you see how many people are in Anthony's bracket?
You know, I did not. Usually Anthony's got a good eye on that. So nice. This weekend, two of my teammates going, Anthony, who's been working on the side with me on a little parts of his game. And also our other teammate, Bernard, who's one of our brown belts, really good guy. So it should be exciting. Should be good work. Kind of nervous in a sense that, you know, I'm working with Anthony. I want to watch how he does in the tournament, because if he doesn't do well, he might ask for all of his money back from the private lessons, in which case I would have to tell him, too bad, man. I spent it all on crack.
Hey, man, blowing spent hookers.
Spent it all on crack and hookers. Sorry, buddy.
That's so funny, dude.
Oh, man. But real quick, though, were you able to watch a little bit of the boxing action from last week, or talk about Francis Ngannou versus Anthony Joshua?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I honestly didn't catch it in time because, dude, you know what's so funny?
Well, can I tell you, it lasted so short. If you saw the highlights, you essentially saw the whole fight.
The fact that I was trying to stream it, right? I was like, okay, cool. I got the stream going. And mind you, I was at home editing photos and whatnot, and I just left it going. And I was just like, why does it keep playing over and over the same fucking fight? It's because apparently they started so early in the morning that between the main and the co-main event, there was like a 2-3 hour break. Did you see that?
No, I think, dude, I just saw like shortened
it
version.
It literally started in the morning.
The abbreviated cut.
And they didn't fight till I don't know what time it was. It was like afternoon or something.
Noon or one?
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
Okay.
I thought my stream was tripping out. I was like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm not going to be able to watch it.
Well, Sean, you get what you pay for. Yeah. Didn't pay for, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and then I look back on it and the co-main hasn't even gone on yet. And I was like, what the fuck? But I did see
the
knockout.
That's a hell of a way to run an event.
I know. I did see the knockout. I mean, if You didn't think that was really going to happen. I mean,
dude, and Ngannou just did not look ready. He did not look on that level. He was flinching at every feint that Joshua and Anthony Joshua didn't even have to kind of put everything into his punches to get the results he wanted. It's just a different sport. It's a different level, man. And you had to think that Joshua was going to come in there ready because he didn't want to look as bad as Tyson Fury did.
Plus, he's going to make a ton of money. Made so much fucking money off not even breaking a sweat. And same thing with Francis. Yeah. He fucking got 20 million in his bag. No, but believe me,
Francis
broke
a sweat and he broke his brain as well. He made a pretty good chunk of change too. So hopefully like that pays for enough neuroscientists to help him find his consciousness.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. But you saw the UFC 299 last weekend as well?
Yeah, great fights, man. I mean, everyone keeps saying that this one was probably going to be better than 300. I got a lot of different things to say about that, but this fight card was actually pretty damn good.
They had some good action. The bantamweight title fight, which was the main event between Sean O'Malley. He gets a performance of the night bonus. He wins a unanimous decision victory over Marlon Chito Vera. Marlon Chito Vera, besides being tatered for almost five complete rounds, had a fucking awful week because while he was away, his house was also broken into in Florida.
Really?
People like robbed his fucking house while he was away at this fight, bro. This is fucked up, dude. Oh man. So, but anyway,
I didn't know that.
But I mean, like this performance, it just kind of showed that there's levels to this. Just Marlon Vera just did not look athletic enough. He didn't look fast enough. He didn't look like he had the tools to really get in there. And just Sean O'Malley just made it look like a clinic, and at least in the striking wise, because just the use of his length, his ability to move off of the cage. I mean, really impressive performance by Sean O'Malley.
It almost looked like Chito didn't have any answer for the length and the range. I felt like Chito was trying to maybe try to feint a little bit to the side and maybe try to trick Sean O'Malley, but for some reason, none of it was working. And
Sean was very disciplined about not trying to get into a mix with him.
I'll disagree with one thing. I think Marlon Chito Vera did have what it takes because there was that really good body shot he threw at the very end of the fight. I just felt like
at 4:53 of the last round.
I mean, he ended up hurting him at the very end, but I felt like he had the tools to do it. He just didn't show up. Like he didn't have to grapple, which was going to be the Achilles heel, to be totally honest. If they did if Marlon was on his back, I know for sure Sean O'Malley would have probably finished that. But the fact that he was able to keep it standing should have been a win for him. Unfortunately, he just wasn't able to capitalize on anything. I thought Chito was going to be the faster, maybe a little bit more power, but fortunately for Sean O'Malley, I mean, he just evolved times three. Went Super Saiyan, looked really good. I mean, for this to be, I think it was the fourth or fifth biggest gate. He's a star, man. Like he's kind of like the one that's going to be pushing the needle right now.
What do you think about the next thing for Sean O'Malley? Like obviously at bantamweight, you think, oh, okay, it's going to be Merab, but he was calling out Topuria over at featherweight. It's just like, God damn, dude, Merab cannot catch a break. Hopefully they give Merab the next shot. I feel like O'Malley should try to clear out the division before he starts jumping into different type of weight divisions, trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree. The call out of Ilya was, you know, it was probably warranted. Like we knew that was going to happen. Is it going to happen? It might because... Would you rather pay?
You mean they would kick Merab to the side?
I mean, if you think about it,
Merab's pretty hot right now. I would argue he's a hotter commodity than Topuria.
But would you rather pay to see him fight Topuria, or would you rather pay to see him fight Merab? I know
Merab
exactly, but the UFC probably doesn't want to do that because we already know
afraid of Sean O'Malley.
Exactly, Merab is going to get a hold of this guy. He's going to fucking wrestle fuck him for the whole fucking fight. And there goes your cash cow.
Here's something that Sean O'Malley showed, though, is that he could he could hit with significant power while moving backwards. Like Merab's strike defense is not very good. No. So even if he does get to a wrestling exchange with Sean, he's going to eat a lot of damaging stuff. So I think that's a super compelling fight. So I don't think it's a given that Merab can just grind Sean into the ground.
What happens to Cheeto after this?
Man, I think he's got to go back into the lab and rethink some things, because I think he's kind of hit the ceiling in the sense that you can just no longer just be just tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Marlon Cheeto Vera took so much in this fight. He is super fucking tough. You got to give him that. But you've got to be more than that if you're going to be a champion.
Yeah.
You've got to bring something technical. You've got to bring something special. And I think he's just kind of reached the ceiling.
I agree. I'm sure he got paid pretty well for this fight. Hope he goes to the drawing board, or maybe he goes down to 25. Just kidding.
I don't think so.
He's not going to be any of the champs.
Hopefully he got paid out. Hopefully, you know, to help kind of pay for the lost property from his home being robbed and just take care of his family.
Is that an Airbnb or what? Probably, yeah.
What are you talking about? No, his fucking house, bro.
He has a house in
where
Florida?
He lives. Where
he's
he
from Huntington
property.
Beach.
What?
He's from Huntington Beach, though.
Dude, his house got robbed.
Yeah, that sucks.
But I'm going to eat a shut up white belt Carlo on the co-main event. I thought Benoit St. Denis, this would be like his big arrival against Dustin Poirier, but Dustin Poirier puts him away with the TKO and this incredible punching display in the second round. Benoit St. Denis did reveal that he was recovering from something, so he was on antibiotics during fight week, and so that might have contributed to kind of his kind of decline in the second round, even though he was looking like a fucking animal in the first round.
Well, it didn't help how he had that big fucking nasty staff on his fucking forehead. Did you see that shit?
Yeah, I think that's what the antibiotics were for.
Maybe he thought that I have one or two good fucking rounds. I better stop this guy, which he almost did in that first round. And judging by Dustin Poirier's unlimited guillotine attempts. You know, I felt like...
I think part of people kind of make fun of him for the fact that he kept trying like 20,000 guillotines.
He knows it, though.
And not landing all of them. But, you know, I think that wore Benoit St. Denis out in a way. And that might have helped him like
probably
win
made him
and
think.
Set the table for him to punch him out.
Yeah, probably put a lot of strain on his neck and fucking having to defend, and it's exhausting.
You have to carry that. You got to carry that guy on your head, on your neck. And that takes something out of you. Even if you don't get the tap, sometimes that attempt can take something out of you.
What about fucking Poirier's arms, though? I wonder if they're on fucking fire.
From all the squeezing attempts?
Yeah, I mean, dude, the exchange that they got into, that right hook. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nasty fucking right hook. What happens to Dustin Poirier now?
Well, fucking Islam says, oh, let's do it. And I'm just like, poor fucking like Gaethje, who's stuck in this fucking BMF matchup with Holloway, is just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like Poirier gets to leapfrog me just because I'm fighting on UFC 300 already. So we'll see. I mean, it would be compelling to see him against Islam. I'd be interested. I don't think it's necessarily fair, but since when have matchups in the UFC been fair?
Any interest in Poirier Gaethje 3?
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven,
I'd
right?
be interested in that, but I'm willing to bet like one of those two would want a shot at Islam before they do that. Mm. You know, I think the clock is ticking on these guys. They can't fuck around too much just to give eye-pleasing fights to fans. You know, they want that shot at the title, a chance to add more to the bankroll. You know, and for someone like Gaethje, a title like that would be like life-changing for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What happens to Benoit St. Denis now?
You know, I think it was just a bad day at the office. I don't think his stock is hurt too much because he did look impressive in the first round
against the
losing that way in the second round doesn't look great.
Too bad.
But I would, I'd still want to match him up against somebody in the UFC's top 10. Someone that could show where he could show off like his range of techniques.
Yeah, I agree. What about the Michael Venom Page Kevin Holland fight?
Dude, I'm going to take another fucking shut up white belt Carlo on this one too. I thought as awkward as Michael Page is, I thought Kevin Holland's awkwardness would be enough to kind of hurt Michael Page. And to be quite honest, Kevin never put Michael Page in any kind of trouble.
Weird, and right?
Michael Page was able to show off some of the stuff that he was known for, the explosiveness, kind of the unorthodox entries, jumping crosses into leg trips. I mean, pretty dynamic and pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, brings me back to the old ESPN 2 point karate days where you see the point karate sparring and it's just small explosive moves here and there.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. It was kind of cool to see. You could see Kevin Holland being a little bit frustrated just because this guy's faster than I thought he was going to be. But I thought, if Kevin Holland opened up a little bit more in a sense of a more reckless way, he could have found some success because even though Michael Page will kind of wait before he explodes in for an attack, he's not really a refined counter striker.
No.
You know what I mean? He just kind of waits for you to kind of lower your guard and then explodes through the opening. Pause. Yeah. But hey, how about Jack Della Maddalena getting the KO, TKO versus Gilbert Burns in the third round? And Jack Della Maddalena actually ended up having a fractured arm and basically won with a broken arm. That was super impressive. Oh, man. Gilbert Burns looked pretty good, though, I got to say. He didn't look bad.
Did you feel like Gilbert Burns was actually kind of winning that fight up until that sweep?
I thought it was looking pretty good.
Right.
But just got to hand it to JDM, as you like to call him.
Yeah, it was crazy because he did that freaking off the wall kind of like.
Yeah, that escape from the bottom. Just kind of walked out. It was a pretty interesting, he was doing it against the kind of the handcuff position. It's kind of when someone takes your wrist and puts it behind your back.
Yeah.
And he kind of walked up the cage and kind of semi-Gramby rolled out and created that scramble. It was impressive. It was impressive. I don't think I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. What about Peter Yan versus Song Yadong?
Damn, that was a good fucking dude, fight. I think I'm going to eat another fucking white belt on this one too, because I'm pretty sure I picked Song Yadong on this one. Yeah. Peter Yan, after not looking great in the first round, he woke up in round two and three. And this was a fun fucking fight. That was
a good fight. I felt Song Yadong looked real. For some reason, he just looked so much bigger than Peter Yan. I felt like Song Yadong maybe carrying around a little bit of too much muscle where, it kind of proves it where he gasses out in that second round.
Yeah, and then really showed the gas tank going low in the third round.
Dude, Peter Yan doing these super short fucking elbows up from the floor. Just
I think really that Peter Yan showed not just the toughness, but the kind of the fight IQ, made the right adjustments to win the rounds. So when he, after having such a bad first round, in the second round, didn't come out panicky, just knew that he just had to win exchanges. So it was an impressive performance by Peter Yan.
Yeah, unfortunately for Song, man, I felt like Peter Yan was falling for pretty much every feint that Song was doing. And Peter Yan probably had flashbacks of being taken down by fucking Merab over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But dude, like you said, he woke up, managed those rounds really well, ended up winning both of those. Who knows what's next for the former champ?
I don't know. I think you kind of put him in the semi contender picture. But who else is up there in the high level bantamweight?
Would you call him high level? Probably.
He's a former champ.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him fight the winner from early in the prelims, Kyler Phillips. That would be a pretty good fight.
Who would you take in that?
I would pick Petr Yan, probably. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I feel like he's turned, I said this last week, I feel like he turned the corner and finally just accepted the whole bullshit that happened with, you know, Aljamain and him being champ and with the illegal knee and all this other shit and losing. So I think, you know, it's only up for Petr Yan. He's fucking champ. He's a fucking champ.
What other fights on this card did you want to call some attention to?
You know, I thought Gerald Almeida was going to do some like crazy shit, but then Curtis Blaydes just showed that Almeida had no striking at all. No striking. On top of that, Macy Barber getting a good big win against Caitlin, formerly Chikagian, but now Sarah Minara. And then the
Sermonara.
And then the Matosh Gamrot versus RDA. Dude, RDA looked good in that first round. I thought he was actually going to pull it off.
He didn't look too bad. I was just like, yo, this guy's 40 years old.
Yeah,
man. Like, he's not too bad. But dude, oh man, MMA game, especially at lightweight, that is a young man's game. Dude, and just tough. It didn't take long for Matosh Gamrot to kind of just find his rhythm.
Did you get to see Robles de Spain versus Josh Parisian?
Oh no, I missed that one. But Robles de Spain was awarded a performance of the night for his KO TKO. What was it, like 18 seconds in the first round?
This dude is fucking huge. I don't know how far he's gonna go, but what? I mean, I don't know how much time or even cage time he's even had, like total. But he's super tall, super lanky, super long. I don't know what happens when he goes against a wrestler, but I'm in for it.
All right. And so were you able to also watch, we jump events, so we're done with UFC 299. Oh, which by the way, before we jump on events, was it just me, but just the production on this UFC event was just really kind of bad. Like, it kind of reminded me of just kind of these like old school, back in the day, YouTube streamcasts. Like the editing was weird.
Really?
Like they would announce, oh, and now we're going to talk about this, and then they would cut away to some video that had nothing to do with what they just talked about. There was the constant bootlicking of that Donald Trump guy that was fucking weird. I mean, it was just the whole event just had this weird,
you know,
feel
what?
Of just kind of being kind of run by amateurs.
I know what
the,
it is.
The production was just really bad.
It's fucking Florida, dude.
I don't want to say it, but is that what it was?
I think so.
It was in Miami. It's just like,
you got to talk like slow over there.
People just bring their fucking relatives in to run this shit. It's like fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, I mean, fucking Florida, dude. Shit fucks everything up.
Fucking assholes, man.
Shit.
Yeah. It was just, I remember I was shout out to my boy, Steve Quach, who hosted the fights, went over, there were some homies to go watch it. And I just said it out loud. I said, it's just me or the production on this UFC is fucking weak.
Terrible.
And everyone agreed. Everyone's like, yeah, this is a fucking weird ass event. Like it just, it's not coming across as being a high production type of operation. It just felt weird, like on somebody's handheld GoPro and someone like editing it on their laptop as they went along. It's just fucking weird, man. So anyway, that's my fucking haterism for the week, I guess. I don't know. Fucking shit. But anyway, okay. So on to cool things. Also last weekend was one championships, one fight night 20. Janet Todd versus Fetchija in a atomweight kickboxing world championship fight. And Fetchija shows why she is top of the heap. She gets a unanimous decision win. And Janet Todd announces her retirement from professional competition.
I'm a fucking genie. I told you, man. I knew this was going to
happen.
You did
call it. You did mention it. I thought you were kind of crazy, to be quite honest. Because I usually, you know how I am. I break your balls about you
putting the retirement trigger
on like retiring and shit on these people. But you're right. She totally retired. Oh, man. But, Fetchija is fucking good.
Dude, she's really good. And Did you notice that they were constantly accidentally going back to their Muay Thai like tendencies? They were like pulling down on knees and like clenching up. Do you think it would have been a different fight if this was a Muay Thai fight?
That's I'm not sure, because Janet Todd is a great clincher, but I don't know if she's that great that it would have been a game changer.
Yeah.
So I think it's just Fit Chicha's time.
Does Pat Chicha have a Muay Thai title?
I don't think so.
No, because it looks like Alicia.
Oh, maybe
Rodriguez.
She does. I don't know. Like, there's so many of these guys that have multiple titles that I just get all. I don't know.
Now, it looks like the co-main, the chick Alicia Rodriguez, has that weight class's Muay Thai title.
Okay. I think she called her out.
Did she? That'd be a great fight.
I think so. I think that'd be interesting.
That'd be a headliner.
I think they're all 115.
Yeah. I mean, Alicia Rodriguez looked really good. Christina Morales, she's tough go. But Alicia Rodriguez showing her durability. How about Jackie Bunton? She got her fucking face bloodied up.
That left hook of hers, man. Oh, dude, it's nasty. Money. That set up for her left hook. It's really good. She's always had that too. So... yeah, this is a fun card, man.
She fought at 130? Sounds a little heavy, no?
Well, you know, maybe a little heavier than what she normally does, but I don't think it's that much more.
No, because I did notice that her opponent, Martina Micheletto, she looked a lot bigger than Jackie did. Jackie looking like she's fighting a lot more taller people, which is kind of crazy.
Well, I think also the way Jackie's built, I think that's just going to be kind of
her weight class.
That what's going to be on the menu for her in her career, you know, until, you know, because, you know, Jackie's always in great shape, but she's kind of, I don't want to say stocky. I think stocky's overstating it, but she's kind of built like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? She's she's built like a farmer.
So, she's straight third world.
Heavy downstairs, you know? So like,
she's brown.
I'm going to get my ass kicked by teammates over at Boxing Works. Don't beat my ass, guys. I'm trying to describe something here.
One last fight on that card. The Lara Fernandez, Yu Yao Poi fight. Holy fuck, man. Yeah, Yu Yao Poi came out with the same pace as she did when she ended, you know, when the fight actually ended. It was just nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop.
Doesn't give a fuck about anything, about cuts, about none of that shit. She kept coming forward. It was so good. Such a good fight card.
Yeah, and against a tough opponent in Lara Fernandez.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, good event right there. Okay. That's and also, for there was one. Yeah, there was also one Friday Fights 54.
That was good too.
That was pretty good. Pretty good as well. Nothing too crazy in terms of the names from these different countries for me to try to pronounce, except one. There in flyweight MMA, there's a fighter from Kyrgyzstan, and I'm going to try this name, guys. It's Yerskeldi Duashiv. Did I say that right? Yerskeldi? Yerskeldi. Yerskeldi. I think I said it right. Oh man, the Kyrgyzstan contingent is gonna beat my ass,
dude. That guy looks like if you were to look up Kyrgyzstan MMA, it would be that guy's fucking face.
Hey, there you go,
dude. The guy he fought, Ismael Khan. Yeah, he fucking smashed that guy so bad.
Oh man. All right. Well, that was last weekend, and there's more fights this weekend. UFC Fight Night over at the Apex in Las Vegas. It's going to be headlined by a couple of heavyweights, Tai Tuivasa versus Marcin Tybura. Tai Tuivasa, just a slight betting favorite, but not by much. Tai Tuivasa is bouncing back from an MCL tear, I believe.
Really?
I think he tore his MCL in training camp a couple months back. So this fight was pushed back originally supposed to happen earlier, but it was pushed back to this date. So who do you got?
Oh man, this guy's, I mean, Ty's, he's on a 3-fight losing streak for one. Yeah,
they're both coming off of losses.
Yeah. I do know that Marcin Tybura, he's fucking 6'3". you know, not really one to fuck with when, especially if it gets bound down to the ground. So, you know, I love Taito Iwasa, but I feel like if this was going to be in his favor, I wish this was in front of a crowd, because I feel like he feeds off of that stuff. I'm going to go with Marcin Tybura. I think TKO, if he doesn't, I don't think he makes it past the second.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think Tybura's strike defense is rated just a little bit higher than Tuivasa. And I think in the past, though, I've also picked against Tuivasa, and he's also maybe look bad. So I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Tybura on this one, just because Tuivasa, coming off of a knee injury, he's a big boy. So that's a lot of weight going on that leg, having to move around. So I'm going to go with the Polish hammer guy.
Nice. How about that co-main event? Brian Battle versus, I don't even know how to say that.
Ange Lusa.
Switzerland.
He's from the Congo, Kinshasa. Oh, shit. You know, Brian Battle, I think he shouldn't have cut his hair, man.
When I know, he was much better with
that. Stringy hair, yeah. He looked like a straight up MMA Neanderthal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was easy to see him in a crowd. Brian Battle, just a slight betting favorite. I'm going to go with Brian Battle on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brian Battle as well. Funny enough, I actually photographed him way, way back when.
Is this one of your porno stories?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Just making sure. Hey, how about a former light heavyweight title contender, Ovin St. Preux, going up against Kennedy... Oh boy, help me with the last name, Sean.
Senchuku.
I know this guy too.
Senchuku.
Thank you, Kenny Senchuku. They're not doing Ovin St. Preux any favors. Kennedy is a -500 dude, favorite on this one. Yeah. Is it going to be that bad, Sean?
I don't think so. I mean, OSP.
He's tough and awkward.
He's tough as fuck.
He's also not super, like, he has a low ceiling in terms of his skill development.
Yeah, but so, then I noticed that
Kennedy can fucking hurt you.
He can crack, yeah. Kennedy can crack, but I have seen him be susceptible to punches, and you know, he has a good ground game, but you know, OSP has that fucking Von Flue choke. We'll see what happens. If he pulls that shit off, that's insane.
Guilty pleasure here, opening the main card. It's Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberina. It's guilty pleasure, I say, because Barberina is just a fucking action fighter. I feel bad enjoying his fights just because there's so much brain damage that happens. Everyone always looks like they just came out of a meat grinder whenever there's a Barberina fight. But Gerald Meerschaert is fucking no joke. And
Did they say what weight class is this though?
This is a middleweight. Yeah, middleweight? And this is like a -230 favorite for Meerschaert. Barberina +190 underdog. Hmm.
I'm going to agree with that. I feel like Brian Barberina coming up from welterweight, he's going to be the smaller guy. Gerald Meerschaert,
yeah.
He used to fight a fucking light heavyweight, I think, a few times.
Yeah, no? I think you're right. And Barberina's toughness might not carry him through into the middleweight ranks when you're the kind of fighter that just you rely on taking a bunch of trauma in order for you to deal out trauma of your own. Shit. And your body just might give out before you can even get a turn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, not sure about that. How about our Filipino brethren, Josh Kuya Culabao versus Danny Silva. Hopefully he gets that win.
They haven't posted the odds on this one, so we'll see what happens. Just a reminder to all you wrestling coaches that are looking for gigs. Sean says you should go to the Philippines and coach Filipino MMA fighters in wrestling because they need your help.
Yeah, they all need it. Please. Yeah,
we all need help with wrestling, but those guys definitely need help with wrestling.
Speaking of wrestling,
guys, they spend too much time on the basketball courts when they should be practicing their shots and sprawls.
Speaking of wrestling, shout out to my guy, Sasha. He's doing our warm-ups Monday. I think it was on Monday. We did some wrestling drills. He's one of the coaches over at Lowell. Is it Lowell or Skyline? I forget. What are you? Shout out to Sasha.
All right. Shout out, man. Also this weekend, one Friday Fights 55. mostly Muay Thai on the card. They'll probably have like a couple of MMA fights on there. So that's also happening this Saturday. Okay. Nothing with the PFL. If you're more into grappling this weekend, the only thing we've got going on, or a couple things we have going on, Fight to Win 249 will be aired on flowgrappling.com. And with the IBJJF, let's see, IBJJF. Oh, it's not till next weekend. There's the Pan IBJJF Jiu-Jitsu Championships, which will be in Florida. So we could talk about that as we get closer to that. If Muay Thai, more Muay Thai is your jam, the Raja Damnern World Series of Fighting this Saturday, Kainubon versus Sokhonpat for the flyweight Muay Thai title for that stadium. So that's, you could catch up on that with on YouTube. And then if boxing is more your jam, this Friday, the WBC Continental America's super welterweight title will be fought for in New York between Walsh and, I'm going to mispronounce this name, Walsh versus Yelyusinov. Woo, there you go. Also, there's the British Middleweight Championship will be fought for in Birmingham between Heaney and Pauls. So that's all your, well, most of your action this week. And if I miss out on anything, guys, please don't hate me. Besides, first round fights also this Saturday.
Oh yeah.
So go, if you guys go, say hi to Sean.
Yes, please.
He'll be the one with the belly shirt and the camera.
I'll give you my media pass. You guys can go backstage and fucking smell the nastiness.
But you have to give him a reach around first though.
Yeah.
You know, there ain't nothing free, motherfuckers.
No.
And also BJJ tour this weekend down at Woodside.
Where's Woodside? Is that near?
Towards Union City. I had to look it up myself.
Woodside. Really near Union City?
I think that's what someone told me. Am I fucking wrong?
Oh, look at this shit, dude.
Well, everyone pull up your maps. Woodside.
Oh.
Am I right? Bet you I'm right.
No.
It's not
no.
Menlo Park. West near Menlo Park.
Yeah.
Okay. Redwood City.
Dude, you would have.
Yeah, like a past San Mateo.
You would have gone the wrong way,
Palo
bro.
Palo Alto. Did I go the wrong way?
Because Hayward's across the San Mateo Bridge.
Oh, why did I say Union City? Why the fuck did I say that?
Fuck, because they're all same out there.
They're all
hate
the same.
Union City. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Woodside is before Mountain View. Okay. So I'm an idiot. So, all right. So, hopefully I remember that. I don't end up in the wrong side of the bay watching these jiu-jitsu matches on Sunday.
Let me know if you see Mark Zuckerberg over there.
Oh, yeah, because this BJJ tour is the one that he competed in last year, correct?
If I'm not mistaken,
I think someone pointed that out when I made an announcement in class about the tournament last week. So
nice.
What's the rest of your week looking like, bro?
So I'm just going to work. I've been doing a lot of drone flying. So if you see me out there with my drone, I crashed today. Not going to lie, dude.
Shit. Is your drone okay?
Yeah, drone's okay. So here's a quick tip. Especially my line of work, I need to be in and out real fast. So I land on the roof of my car, usually like right where the sunroof is. I totally forgot my sunroof was open. And then,
so what, it crashed inside of your car?
So it literally landed on the top. And then when I noticed that the sunroof was open, it was already like teetering over and it went in. It starts spinning inside my fucking car. And then it even sliced through a little bit of my steering wheel. So,
fuck.
But the drone's cool because I got it up in the air a few minutes later. But
the drone's okay. Yeah, drone's that's more okay. Important. I don't give a fuck. I'm not gonna ask about your carotid artery whether it got sliced or some shit.
Yeah,
dude. Man. But fucking be careful with that shit, bro.
Yeah. So just gonna be working for the rest of the week, and then again, I'll be at first round fights at the Cow Palace. First fight starts around 3. I'll be there around the afternoon to get some behind the scenes and stuff. But other than that, probably gonna hang with my fam. That's about it, man. How about you?
The same thing with like training and teaching, and and then looking forward to the jiu-jitsu tournament this weekend.
Cool, man. Well, that's going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget to hit up. Oh, don't forget to follow our social media. Mine is Sean underscore Pierre underscore.
Can yours, you spell Carlo? That? Can you spell blah, 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 blah,
yeah, it's
blah,
B-I-G-D-I-C.
Perfect.
And mine is Sean underscore Pierre underscore. And yours, Carlo?
Hopkey one on Instagram.
God damn, we do this shit. 114 fucking episodes in. Can't get it in. Don't forget to
That's
hit
what
up.
She said pause.
Don't forget to hit up Magala Jiu-Jitsu in San Francisco, 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu in Daly City, FTCC out in Las Vegas, and Omni Movement in Hercules.
Check us out at Hapkido USA. We're also with our Cole Haldo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team and our Golden Pizza Muay Thai. Also, shout out to our friends and fam at Pacific Ring Sports, Sama Martial Arts and Pinole, Rooted Legacy, Muay Thai and Martinez. And again, as always, much love to Omega Martial Arts, our family. Hey.
Shout out to Coach Bryson Davis out there at 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu or 10 Planet Daly City. He's going to be fighting in April. Check him out on Napa. Fights this weekend, guys. One championship, UFC. Fight to win. Wait, is it fight to win?
Yep, fight to win. There is a fight to win.
Be safe out there, guys. No STDs. Peace.